You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Gareth Topham with you on the latest edition, and we're looking ahead to Wednesday's racing. Mr. Topham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We've got hopefully more racing to look forward to on Wednesday than we did on Tuesday, where we did lose Leicester, but we did have Exeter and Newcastle, and we're recording this midway through the Exeter card as well. And we've just heard some rather sad news, I suppose, if you are... Well, sad news, full stop. I was going to say, if you're a fan of Richard Johnson, but I don't think you'd find many people that aren't, to be honest with you. He's a top jockey, and he came off one a little earlier at Exeter, and it sounds like he may well have broken his arm.
Yeah, at the time of recording, he's being treated for a suspected broken arm by doctors at Exeter. They don't usually get it wrong, do they? And he did walk away from the tumble from West End Story holding his lower arm, I think it was. So, now, fingers crossed... it isn't as serious as that, because obviously that will mean a few weeks on the sidelines. And given how close the Jockeys Championship is, that was building up to be a fine race in itself, and it has been the talk of the last few weeks over Jumps, hasn't it?
They've been having a really good battle, haven't they, the two of them? And as you said, Gareth, as we speak, nothing's confirmed yet, but it didn't look particularly nice for Dickie Johnson, and fingers crossed, whatever it is, he can make a fairly swift recovery, because we'd like to see him back on the race course as soon as possible. I wanted to talk as well about yourself and where you are in the coming days, because we're going to focus on two races at Catterick. You're not calling at Catterick on Wednesday. On Thursday, you're going up to Newcastle.
I am.
Now, I wanted to just speak about Newcastle and the... Has anything changed with the application of floodlights there from a commentator's point of view? Obviously, when you used to call there on the turf, and you still do over Jumps, obviously, does anything change? Do the lights get in your eyes, as basic as that sounds? Is there anything that you need to prepare for a little bit more? Is there anything that...
Need to prepare my dinner, because we tend to finish a lot later at Newcastle than what we used to. No, on a serious note, the lights, I think, are the best in the country. I've called at all the floodlit tracks in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I think the lights at Newcastle. Southwell are very good as well.
Yep.
Southwell, obviously, are the newest installed lights, and I think they're excellent as well. But Newcastle, it's just a pity we haven't got them all the way around, because a lot of these Newcastle cards are generally the first races run on the round course, if you're lucky.
Yep.
And then the rest are run on the straight course. I'm not sure whether seven races in a row in a straight line is the greatest spectacle the sport has to offer. But... No, from a calling point of view, I actually don't mind it. I thought when the news came through a few years ago that it was going to be Newcastle over maybe Catterick or somewhere like that for a floodlit track, I thought, oh, you know, it could be. Because Newcastle's a big place to fill, and a lot of these all-weather meetings. I was there a couple of weeks ago for one of the fast-track qualifier meetings, one of the good all-weather championships meetings. Good quality card, about £120,000 in prize money. I think there were just over 200 people there, which in a place that holds 20,000... You can imagine.
Was.
Many of the meetings are like that, but I think all weather tracks generally are quite like that. But no, the floodlights are fantastic. They actually went out the other night halfway through the card.
Yes, and they did.
It was amazing. I mean, it sums up my luck. I go to a meeting where the last two races are abandoned, and I actually leave later than I would have done had the races been staged. It could only happen to me. That put us right in the tea time traffic around the Metro Centre as well. It was just, oh dear.
At least you had your dinner.
I had my dinner. So, but no, it's a cracking place to call. And I've been lucky to do some of their biggest days as well. I did the plate a few years ago. That was great fun. And it's a good place to call. I think they've got some sort of project in the future where they're going to be revamping one of the grandstands.
Okay.
I certainly saw proposals for that, but it was about a year or so ago now. I thought they might have started by now, which they haven't. Whether it's been held back or postponed for a little while, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'm not necessarily thinking the floodlights are the end of the developments at Newcastle. There might be more to come in the future, and it's a great venue.
Yeah.
And as far as calling goes, yeah, it's fine. Quite enjoy it. Keeps me on my toes.
Are you anywhere for the rest of the week after that?
I'm at a point-to-point near Kelso on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
A place called Friars Hock, which is actually one of my favourite point-to-point tracks in the country. It's beautiful. It's like it's on an island. You've got to go over a bridge which crosses a river to get into
it. Oh, wow.
And it's on its own sort of little piece of land. They go out of view. They go up a massive hill, and then they come down a hill, and there's a fence at the bottom of the hill. And literally, if you get a faller at that, the horse doesn't stop rolling for about 100 yards.
That's right,
how it's a proper point-to-point. It's but they'll get a good crowd. Hopefully, the weather will play ball. Hopefully, the weather will play ball, because I'm up on a scaffold. So if it rains, I am going to get wet. My colours will just be all seeping into one another.
Yeah.
But no, it's what I would describe as a proper point-to-point. A lot of point-to-points are going a bit modern now.
Mm.
And it almost spoils them a little bit. I like,
because you call point-to-points for as long as I've known you.
Yeah. I like a proper rustic point-to-point. That's what I grew up with, and that's what I like. And Friars Hock still has that. And I only go there once a year. I think they hold 3 meetings annually. So I'm really looking forward to Sunday. And then next week, I think, I've got Annick point-to-point.
Mm-hmm.
Might see Don Polly. Who knows? And I've got, I think I see Killer Crow on Sunday, which is the horse Don Polly beat at Annick the weekend just gone. And I've also got Catterick and Weatherby next week as well. And I think it's the Towton Novices Chase at Weatherby, grade
right
2.
There,
So, so that should be a good quality day's racing at my local.
Lovely. Right. Enough of
me.
Nostalgia and Gareth
Topham.
Let's talk Wednesday's racing, and we're going to focus on a couple at Catterick. The first of which, is it the first race on the card?
Mm.
Yeah, the 120. A novice's hurdle coming your way, and potentially a couple of fairly promising types here. Some who haven't shown a great deal yet, but could show more. I'm thinking Mam Dude is one of those who I've certainly got in mind for the future, but probably not here. You'd imagine handicaps could be the way to go. But then, I mean, Evander's certainly one that catches the eye.
He does. Up at the top of the weights, obviously, because he's gone and won a race in this sphere, having scored at Sedgefield last time out. Did that in good style. I think he's got a good chance. He gets on well with his jockey, Ross Turner, who takes off £5. But also taking off £5 off of his mount's back is Harrison Bezic, who rides Kiriglot. And Kiriglot is the way that I'm going to play in at this race. He's a horse that came from an absolute mile back to win a couple of outings ago. That was at Catterick. And then I saw him when he ran at Haydock over Christmas, where he chased home what I think is quite a useful horse of Fergal O'Brien's called Ask a Honeybee.
Yeah.
And again, he just seemed to get a little bit outpaced before staying on again. He was never going to endanger Ask a Honeybee on that occasion, but he stayed on into a clear second. And that race was over just shy of 2 miles, whereas the race on Wednesday at Catterick is over 2.5, which I think is going to be right up his street. As I say, he's already got winning form around here, but I think he's shown enough potential to suggest that he's going to win in this sphere. And I think, as I say, this trip is going to be what he's crying out for. So Kiriglot, I fancy quite strongly in that opener at 120.
Okay. You mentioned Harrison Bezic, of course, taking 5 off, but of course, while Ross Turner's 5 is to negate a penalty, Harrison Bezic's almost a freebie, if you like.
Yeah, exactly. And it does ultimately mean that Kiriglot is still receiving a fair chunk of weight from Evander.
Yeah.
Others to consider in the race: Show Promise, who represents Phil Kirby and Tommy Dowson. But what a month they've had.
Yeah.
And Show Promise has done exactly that in a short career so far. But I just think Kiriglot, with this step up in trip, likely to suit. I think that's going to bring about quite a bit of improvement, and perhaps enough improvement to see him land this opener.
And Nicky Henderson, Nico de Bonneville teaming up as well with O'Connell Street. I mean, Nico won't have spent much time at Catterick, you wouldn't have thought, over the years. And Nicky Henderson does send the odd one there, but it is the odd one, isn't it?
It is. And only a 6-year-old O'Connell Street, who's only had a couple of starts. And there's been plenty of promise shown as well in 2 bumper contests, 1 at Market Race and 1 at Warwick. And this looks to be a good sort of starting point to his hurdling career. He's had wind surgery. But as I say, in the shape of Kiriglot, I actually think he's bumping into a fair sort for the grade. So I'm sticking with Donald McCain's Kiriglot.
Kiriglot, the pick then in the opening race on the Catterick car. That's coming up at 1:20. The other race that we're going to focus on is the 155 contest, handicap chase, coming your way over 3 miles, a furlong, and a few yards on top of that as well. And one of my favourite horses runs here, and when I say favourite, I mean I like watching him.
I think we're going to go for the same horse, possibly.
I normally quite like taking him on. I certainly have done the last twice.
Right.
But at a slightly more appealing price, when you can back him each way, I'm a big fan of paddling.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Well, the concern for me is the last twice he's gone off so short, and he's clearly got his quirks, but he jumps soundly, he stays fairly well, and when you can back him each way, you get a run for your money.
Well, you do. We're not taking any chances here, are we, at 9-2? Hopefully he'll just ease out a fraction.
No, but the thing is, when he was, I think he went off odds on a couple of starts back, and was that the race that he lost in the...
Yeah, he ran at Christmas here over, was it 2.5, and he got... No, he won the race, didn't he? He won the race in a tremendous finish against Pinch of Ginger,
yes,
who has won again, yes, I hasten to add, since... What I liked about him that day, because I'm quite aware of this horse's profile, but he's, funnily enough, a horse that I haven't seen on course that often.
Yeah.
But what struck me that day, boy, he was game. He didn't half stick his neck out on the run, and yet he wanted it that day, and he got it, only for it to be robbed from him a few minutes later in the stewards' room. Now, he wasn't so good behind at Knock Robin over the same course and distance last time out, and again, as you say, Alex, he was sent off at quite a short price. But what interests me is the fact that Mickey Hammond's in really good form at the moment, and they're stepping this horse up to a trip that he's not familiar with at all. 3 miles one. It's just a completely different sort of test for him.
Well, I said he stays well. That's over the trip that he has been running at, and I think he's been running as though he would stay further. Now, granted, this is quite an extreme step up from what we've seen. This isn't sort of 2.4 to 2.6. This is all of a sudden, bam, 3.1 in at the deep end.
But he's up against a load of horses that are thoroughly exposed to this sort of trip, whereas I know he's 9 years old, but as you've already said, he often runs his race. He's usually in the frame. He's a brilliant place pot horse.
Yeah.
As I saw at Christmas, he has got a good attitude in a finish. And, you know, you wouldn't say that for many of these in this. I just think it's an interesting piece of placing. You know, there are quite a few opportunities. There's plenty of jump racing in the north over the next few weeks. He could have gone anywhere and stuck at sort of 2.5. But Mickey and the team obviously feel, no, let's try something a bit different with him. The race will be run at a completely different sort of tempo. He might just actually get himself into a really good rhythm and be a big improver for the trip. And... yeah, for that reason, I am going with paddling. Benarty Hill won on the same day paddling got disqualified at Catterick. Was given a lovely ride by Alison Clark that day. I think his partner of the trainer, Kenny Johnson, it was a rare winner for the combination. They don't have many horses. They don't have many winners, but it was great. Alison saluted the crowd when she went past the line. She'd given it an absolute peach. But would Benarty Hill be the obvious sort to follow up? That would be my concern with him. And as I say, of the others, they're generally pretty exposed sorts at this sort of level. And that, I think, can be said for Ask Paddy as well, who's likely to go off favourite. Mm. Albeit he represents a very shrewd outfit in Sam and Jonathan England and did score well 13 days ago. But I just think paddling is fascinating. He's up to 3 miles one for the first time. The stable are in good form. They know what they're doing. And at 9-2, I wouldn't mind him just edging out a little further. But I think he's definitely a player, and I don't think you're going to do a great deal of damage.
No, I would echo everything you've said, with the except I just don't think he is the most resilient.
Right.
But...
well, he was that day.
Yeah,
he was that day.
And I'm quite happy, like you said, up in trip.
Right.
If the jockey can just sort of keep hold of him for as long as possible. But like you said, at that price, he's not going to hopefully do too much damage anyway.
No, unless he just completely doesn't stay. He gets to 2.6 and he's like, I've hit the wall.
Which is also
That's
an
it.
Option.
Yeah.
So there you go. We've thrown a selection in that we somehow both agree with, which didn't seem likely, but hopefully paddling can do the business in the 155.
The great thing with these tips is if they both go completely wrong, you've got the rest of the day to recover. So
that's right.
Or you can get off to a flying start. It's a win-win. Yeah.
Or you can stop, take stock, and go, do you know what? I think that's me for the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll come back at the weekend. So the selection in the first race, Gareth, that was Kiriglot.
Yeah, Kiriglot. And look, out of the two, I think he'd be the slightly more confident one.
Yeah. And it'd be nice to see a good run from paddling in the 155, fingers crossed anyway. Gareth, thank you very much.
Thank you, a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.